And if you look at the farming techniques, the profits, and the arrangements made in the 12th century, they're probably not too different from those that can be documented in the time of Suleiman the Magnificent and his immediate successors in the Ottoman period, the 16th century. And they are these are both periods that were probably of exceptional prosperity, because contrary to a perception that would naturally be held, that the Crusaders were just a disaster for the region. Once the initial conquest was over, once these cities were captured, the Crusaders very quickly learned to exploit them. They certainly didn't want to destroy the existing populations. They needed them in order to cultivate the field. And they quickly learned to adapt to the surrounding conditions, collect rents in lieu of labor services. They certainly didn't need to bring in European peasants. There's very little documentation of any of that. If a European arrived in the Levant, he was almost automatically classified as a burgess, that is a merchant, if not a knight, which is a very high status. And so the area, at least economically, prospered quite well. Now, other perceptions and other objections to the Crusaders undoubtedly were there. Most Muslims found Crusader rule ultimately intolerable. The notion that people who were protected ones who were not supposed to bear arms, would rule over believers, that is, non-believers over believers, was really quite an intolerable thought. This does not exist in medieval Islam, or is not supposed to exist, and there are certainly objections there. But from an economic viewpoint, in many ways, the Crusaders brought a certain measure of prosperity. And it also should be compared to the two decades immediately before the Crusader arrival. This region had been a battleground between the Seljuk Turks and the Fatimid armies. And what had happened is the Crusaders now imposed some type of order and were encouraging all sorts of traditional patterns of agriculture and trade, to be sure, for their own purposes. But this was certainly to be preferred with the disorder that had existed immediately before the arrival of the Crusaders. And finally, I should again stress that most of the Muslim populations were Arabic speakers. They had a diversity of Muslim confessions. You had Shiites, you had Sunnis, that is representing two sides of the question of authority going back to the split in the 7th century. There was another sect known as the Druze, who sometimes are classified as even an independent religion. These are the followers of the mad Caliph al-Hakam back in the 11th century, who broke off. There were various cells of the Assassins, that is the Shiite extremist based in Persia. All of them agreed on one point. They did not like the Turks, and they did not like the Turkish military elite. So that as much as they might have resented the fact they were ruled by Christian lords, rule by Turkish military authorities was only marginally better, I suspect, in their eyes. And if it was a it was ruled by a disorderly Turkish military authority, especially the great tribal armies pouring out of the Al Jazeera, I'm not sure that many of these Muslim villagers and merchants and caravan masters really had much to choose from. The commercial transformation or the economic economic transformation of Outremer really depended on trade. Here, the Western Europeans made a major impact. I had mentioned in earlier lectures that commercial ties and pilgrimage routes had already brought the Italians to these ports. Once they were secured under Christian rulers, and that was done essentially by 1124 with the fall of Tyre. In fact, by the death of Baldwin I, they controlled most of the ports they wanted. All of the major Italian maritime republics, the cities of southern France, notably Marseille, Barcelona, all of these republics were able to set up quarters within the cities. Now, these quarters were usually negotiated before the city was captured in a siege, and they set aside crucial districts to the participating naval power, whether it be Genoa or Venice. That allowed them to have key dockyards, dry docks, houses for storing goods, residential quarters. The arrangements were spelled out between the obligations between the Italian allies and usually the King of Jerusalem. In the case of that example of Tyre I cited about village pattern, Venice also got in the original deal in Tyre the right to exploit a whole bunch of plantations as part of their economic incentive for supporting the siege.